please remain standing and turn with me to Galatians chapter 5 this evening. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 15. Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 15. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. You are running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view than mine, and that the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. But if I, brothers, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. For you are called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. You may be seated. Please join me in prayer. Father, tonight as we study your word in Galatians chapter 5 and other places in Scripture that talk about Christian liberty, and as we continue our study of this chapter in our confession, we pray that your Spirit would illuminate and make clear your word to us as we look at the boundaries of freedom in your word and what freedom means and the many ways that you have freed us. We pray that you would help us at this hour of the evening to remain alert and awake to hear your truth. And I pray that you would work in spite of my weaknesses in proclaiming your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Why is it that man in his sinfulness thinks that he has true freedom when instead he is really enslaved and ensnared in the bondages of sin and Satan? Why is it that man thinks that obedience to God, obedience to God's commandments, adhering to Scripture is oppressive, and that throwing off the shackles and regulations and having the freedom to live as one wants to live seems to be or appears to be true freedom? Let's just throw this Bible away and live how we want to live, people think is true freedom. Now we know that the eyes of the unrepentant are blind and they cannot see the truth, but it's amazing that the law which brings freedom is so despised, and that which oppresses and enslaves is that which is embraced. Imagine, if you will, rejecting a sumptuous feast for a pile of manure. Hedonism is a school of thought that argues that pleasure and happiness are the primary or most important intrinsic goods and the proper aim of human life. Such are the thought patterns in our world today. Our world is patterned after hedonism. But also, postmodern thinking, we know, that rejects absolute values and absolute truth, so that everyone is an expert and anyone can decide what is true and what is false. We know that we live in a time when right is called wrong and wrong is called right. We see that spelled out in Isaiah 5:20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. We live in a time when man, by and large, not all men, but by and large, rejects any notion of truth. When everyone did what was right in his own eyes, to a point that is. Because there is still objective truth being pushed in some form of political correctness, the problem is truth today is measured not by an objective standard, but by either popular opinion or by man's own wisdom. I then become the arbiter of my own truth. One of the reasons that I enjoy studying history is not just the fact that there is nothing new under the sun, but by looking at history, you can easily see the folly of man who trusts in self. And in contrast, you can see the wisdom of those who trust in God and in His providence. Sinful man envisions a utopia where man relies upon the innate goodness of man, and yet we know that there is no innate goodness of man. But instead, there is only a sinful nature that is in rebellion against the Creator. So in our world today, liberty is not what we think it is. Liberty is not what our world defines for us as liberty. Liberty is embracing the truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is standing firm on the foundation of the Word of God. It is freedom from the guilt of sin. It is freedom from the condemning wrath of God. It is freedom from the curse of the moral law. It is being delivered from this present evil world. It is deliverance from bondage to Satan. It is deliverance from the dominion of sin. It is deliverance from the evil of afflictions. It is not having to face the sting of death. It is having victory of the grave. It is not having to endure everlasting damnation. It is having free access to God. It is in our obedience to God and to His Word that we find freedom. We don't have the yoke and the bondage of the ceremonial law. Freedom is in having a boldness of access to the throne of grace. It is having a fuller communion of the free Spirit of God. It is having a liberty of conscience that is not bound by the commandments and the doctrines of man that contradict or are contrary to the Word of God. Liberty is all of those things and so much more, but it is never, ever a license to sin. That's man's view of liberty. Liberty gives me a license to sin. The idea that I am free to sin, that's not liberty, that's bondage, that's slavery. That's like saying, I am free, and yet the bars of your cage are all about you. Galatians 5:1, Paul states, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke, to a yoke of slavery. For freedom Christ has set us free. Why would we go back into slavery? That's a very pertinent question for those who have a very wrong view of freedom. For freedom, Christ has set us free. We don't turn back to any form of bondage. And we'll go back to Galatians in just a minute to look at what Paul is saying in that particular passage. But before we do that, turn with me to the back of your hymnal to page 860. As we look at Section 3 of chapter 20 of our Confession of Faith, this chapter of Christian liberty and liberty of conscience, top half of the page of page 360, we're looking at number 3. So let us read this section of our confession together. They who, upon pretense of Christian liberty, do practice any sin or cherish any lust, do thereby destroy the end of Christian liberty, which is that being delivered out of the hands of our enemies, we might serve the Lord without fear in holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life. So the beginning of this section in our confession sets up the fallacy that many people in our world believe in today. They who upon the pretense or who upon pretense of Christian liberty do practice any sin or cherish any lust, do thereby destroy the end of Christian liberty. Those who claim, on the basis of having Christian liberty, to practice sin or to cherish, to love, to cling to sin, are living under a pretense of liberty. They are living in a pretend false world. Much like the culture that we live in today. Embracing sin is not liberty. We see that. We know that from Scripture. We know that we cannot claim to be free in Christ and yet still cling to our sin, still want it. We need to throw off that sin which so easily entangles us. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Instead of clinging to sin, instead of practicing sin or cherishing lust, we are to lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely to us. We are to put it off. We are not to practice sin. 1 John chapter 3, verses 4 through 10. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, and as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. Practicing sin, cherishing sin, those are very serious things in the eyes of God that John points out in his letter. Yes, we believe that believers do sin. They do fall into sin. We sin all the time. But to continue blatantly disregarding something clear that is in God's word and saying, you know, it doesn't matter, or continuing to go against it deliberately, perhaps shows signs of false conversion. One who does not bear fruit is not connected to the vine, and we see this in Scripture. There is a very vast difference in me admitting my struggle with sin and the areas where that I am prone to sin over and over again, and yet seeking to repent of those sins and seeking to change those sins, hating my sin, that's one thing. We are in a struggle with the flesh over and over and over again. That's one thing, a man who says, yes, I struggle. Yes, I sin. Here's my sin. I repent and I desire to change. But it's the person who claims in contradiction to the Word of God that what they're doing or practicing is in the realm of Christian liberty when it's directly contrary to the Word of God, then you ought to be worried for your brother and pray for them and call them to repent. For me to say to myself, it doesn't matter how I spend each Lord's Day every week as long as I make it to a worship service, or as long as I make it to more worship services than not, more Sundays than not, does not fall under the realm of Christian liberty. But for me to have the attitude that the day is for me to do whatever I want with every Sunday, that would be a sinful attitude. Is there or are there aspects of the Lord's Day that fall under the realm of Christian liberty? Sure there are. Not every one of us has to be a cookie cutter of the other in how we spend every second of every Sunday. But we should be agreed that we are to spend our time on Sunday in the public and private exercises of the worship of God and in acts of necessity and mercy. What that looks like may vary a little bit from person to person. But if we could simply get those who profess a faith in Jesus Christ to avoid their normal weekly work, and not to cause others to work by going to a store or gas station or the restaurants, then we would have come a long way in America in better observing the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy as a commandment. One with some Christian liberty, yes, but it's often one we take, and we take that liberty and we excuse it for sin. I cannot take anything that the Bible tells me to do that calls it sin and say that's okay for me to do. Sex outside of marriage is not okay. Redefining marriage or gender is not okay. Reinterpreting how the Bible describes men and women and roles is not okay. Disregarding authority, proper authority in my life is not okay for me to do. Hatred, lust, and gluttony are not okay. Pride, worry, and I'm going to hit everyone here, unrighteous anger, mistreating my wife or my children or anyone as an image bearer of God is not okay. Those are all sin. I am not free to sin. I don't have that liberty. You are not free to sin. You do not have that liberty. If the Bible says this is sin, do not do this. We should not do it. Do we sin? Yes. But hopefully in our sanctification, we are striving more and more not to sin with the help of God's Spirit in our lives. In Galatians 5, when Paul says, for freedom, Christ has set you free, Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. He is speaking particularly with the issue of circumcision in that chapter, going back to that ceremonial law of the Old Testament, whether or not it was necessary for a believer to be circumcised. But even more broad than that, it was that call to go back to that yoke of bondage that we looked at a couple of weeks ago that the Israelites were under that ceremonial law. Remember, a few weeks ago in the first section, we read the words, in their freedom from the yoke of the ceremonial law. Under the New Testament, believers are now free from this yoke, and yet Paul is dealing in the Galatian church with those who want to subject themselves to that bondage all over again. In fact, the one who would keep circumcision, he says, as a matter of faith, is bound to keep the entire law, the entire ceremonial law, as he states in verse 3. So, where is their Christian liberty today? Could believers in Christ today have their boy babies circumcised? Sure, but not as a matter of faith. It's not out of obedience to the law. It's not a covenant sign as it was in the Old Testament. We read that this sign is now baptism that we witnessed this morning. To practice sin or to cherish lust is to destroy Christian liberty. But the confession goes on to state in the last half of this section, it says, which is that being delivered out of the hands of our enemies, we might serve the Lord without fear in holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life. Rather than practicing sin, rather than cherishing any form of lust, we have been delivered out of the hands of our enemies so that we can serve the Lord with holiness and righteousness all of our days. And that, my friends, is true freedom. Not indulging in the flesh, not wallowing in our sin, not seeking pleasure as the greatest good, not focusing only on me, myself, and I, but being freed from the hands of our enemies, sin and death and the devil. Romans chapter 6 that we read earlier makes this contrast very plain to us. In the first half of that chapter, Paul argues that we do not keep sinning that God's grace may abound. Should we continue on in sin that God's grace may abound? By no means. We've died with Christ. We have been set free from the bondage of sin. We've been brought from death to life in Jesus Christ. And in the second half of that chapter 6, he speaks of how we are to be now slaves of righteousness, not slaves to sin. Martin Luther's concept of the bondage of the will, we will serve somebody. Either sin, Satan and death on the one hand, or righteousness, God and life on the other. Romans 6, verses 20 through 23. For when you are slaves of sin, you are free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, what freedom we have in Jesus Christ. Oh, why would we trade anything that the world would offer us, money, fame, acceptance of any kind, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life? Why would we ever want to trade eternity for that which will not last and that which leads to death and leads to hell? Is there a comparison? Is there even a comparison? Is there even a choice to be made? Oh, that God may humble me enough so that when my brother sees sin in me or the Holy Spirit convicts me of my sin, I am quick to repent and turn from that sin to remember that I am a slave to righteousness and not to sin. 1 Peter 2:16. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. May we not be those who would use our freedoms as an attempt that we have in Christ, use them as an attempt or a cover-up for evil. Let us continue to be serious about sin in our Christian lives, that we would never use that freedom that we have in Christ as an excuse to go contrary to God's word in any way. 2 Peter 2, verses 17 through 22. These are the waterless springs and mist driven by a storm. For them the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved. For speaking loud voice of folly, they entice by sensual passions of the flesh those who are barely escaping from those who live in error. They promise them freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. For whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. For if after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them. What the true proverb says has happened to them. The dog returns to its own vomit, and the sow, after washing herself, returns to wallow in the mire. We know the scripture tells us that not all of those who claim to be of Christ are of Christ. We know that's true. As we wrap up tonight's look at Christian liberty, we clearly know that our liberty in Christ does not give us a license to sin. We all agree on that. We are not free to disregard any part of God's word. In 1 Peter 1, we see a call to not use our freedom as a cover-up for sin. Paul warns the believers in Galatia to not go back into the slavery of that ceremonial law which they have been freed from. Do not require circumcision and faith. In Romans, Paul reminds us that we are slaves to righteousness and not slaves to sin. We've been set free by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have to be very careful as believers to not use the freedom that we have in a sinful way or in a wrong way. And just like last week, as we looked at how we need to be patient and kind with each other in regards to issues where there is room for differing opinions, we also need to be very, very careful in how we deal with sin. First, in our own lives, we need to make sure that we are not ourselves being lax or lazy in regards to sin. It's very easy for us to do. We live busy lives, consumed with so many things. We need to try to not be, or we need to strive to be steadfast in our faith instead of drift into the thought patterns and the practices of the world that we see day in and day out. We live in the world, but we are not to be of the world. So we must be watchful, as we discussed this morning, and on guard against temptations that come into our lives, that we would turn from those things and stand firm. We need to first deal with the sin in our own lives. Secondly, patiently encourage and lead your brother to deal with his sin. When you see sin in fellow believers, go to them in love and encourage them to repent. Be that person who lovingly corrects with gentleness. Be that person who cares enough for a fellow believer that you would rather risk hurting feelings than to see a fellow believer drowning in sin. And third, from that passage in 2 Peter, we see that there are those, just like we saw in 1 John, who are false converts to the faith. They seem to believe and accept the truth of the gospel, but that seed of the gospel never takes root, and the cares of life and the pull of the world is too much, and they are again entangled in the defilements of the world and overcome. They turn back from the holy commandments of God. May we pray for repentance for those we know who are caught up in sin. May we ask God to change those hearts and lives of those we know who need Jesus Christ. We are not free to sin. Our fellow believers that we know are not free to sin. And even the unbeliever in his unrighteousness is not free to sin, but he's bound up in sin and death. He is in captivity. May we continue to understand what Scripture teaches us about true freedom. Please join me in prayer. Father, we thank you tonight for true freedom, for the many things that your word tells us that we have been freed from as followers of Jesus Christ. And I pray that we would never, ever trade a true freedom for a false freedom. We thank you for the liberty that we have in Christ. We thank you that we are not bound by commandments and traditions of men, that we are simply bound by your word and your truth. Help us to be more consistent in our lives as we strive to follow your word, knowing that we will fail from time to time. Give us those people in our lives who love us and help us gently, lovingly, and may we be those types of people in the lives of others. Help us as we strive in this sanctification. And we thank you for the overwhelming freedom that you give us. We are so blessed. We take that so much for granted. Help us to live grateful lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.